Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Now, there are four major points intended to be made in this lesson with several minor ones. We begin by asserting that all need to be saved from sin because all have sinned and separated themselves from God by sin. The wages of sin is death. And inasmuch as we all must die physically and shall be raised from the dead, we must realize that we are answerable and we are accountable to God, and we shall be judged by Him through Christ. Now, these truths are established. They're undeniable. They cannot and will not be altered, whether we believe them or not. They are there. They are true. Now, we must also understand that even though man needs to be saved, he cannot save himself by himself. Without the grace of God, without God's love, without God's mercy, we could not be saved. And we most certainly can't be saved by the works of the Mosaic Law, Romans chapter 3. Even so, all are permitted to be saved, and salvation is offered to everyone. Christ came to save us from our sins. Repeatedly, this is asserted in the New Testament. Salvation is a universal offer. All who are saved the same way, regardless of race or sex or nationality or color of skin or other distinctions that exist among the people of the world. Since the day of Pentecost, all are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Over and over, this is emphasized, underscored, and we must believe it. Now, the primary point of the lesson is this. The blood of Christ is the cleansing agent of the soul of man. Do you understand that? Do you appreciate that? Do you believe that? The blood of Christ is the cleansing agent of the soul of man. God, the offended one, not only has the authority to determine how we may be saved, but He has determined that we shall be saved by the blood of His only begotten Son. Now, His death is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation simply means that which satisfies the justice of God. God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, even the sins of the whole world, Romans 3 and 1 John chapter 2. You see, and I think we understand this, God does not look upon righteousness and unrighteousness just alike. His holiness demands that sin be punished as surely as righteousness is rewarded. The Father accepted the blood of Christ in lieu of man suffering the penalty himself. This is why we refer to the death of Christ as a vicarious death, His death being instead of another. Now, those alienated from God because of sin are made nigh, they are reconciled to God, Ephesians chapter 2, by the blood of Christ. Peace between God and man, a peace broken by man's transgressions, it's possible through the blood of Christ, His Son, that which was shed on the cross, Colossians 1. It was at the cross that the offer of mercy was made possible because the penalty of sin was paid. Justice and mercy met at the cross, Romans 3:26. And this is the reason we speak of the efficacy, the power to produce, of His blood. The blood of Christ is sufficiently powerful to save everyone who is cleansed thereby. And a second major point, that every person who is saved by the Lord's blood. Apart from His blood, we have no approach to God. We have no relationship with God. There will be no acceptance by God and no salvation from God. It is God's plan that called for Christ to die for the sins of man, Christ becoming a sin offering, Romans 8:3. His death is proof beyond refutation of the sinfulness of man, man's need of a Savior, his inability to save himself. But also the shed blood of Christ on Calvary demonstrates the love and the grace and the mercy of God toward sinful man, showing that God is not willing that any should perish, 1 Peter 3:9. We wonder why, then, all are not saved. Even though all need to be saved, and God wants all to be saved, and God has provided the way for all to be saved, all will not be saved because In addition to what God has done for man's salvation, salvation is conditional upon what man doing what God instructs him to do. God demands obedience to his will. Man must make the choice to either accept or reject God's offer of salvation. You see, God does not and he will not force man in either direction. Therefore, we know salvation is not by grace alone. The false system of Calvinism teaches grace only. But such would remove any and all responsibility of man in the matter and place salvation entirely the responsibility of God. The saved are called God's elect. They are his chosen ones. God has chosen some to be saved and some to be lost, but not on the basis as Calvinists teach. We are chosen as we obediently respond to his commands. We are made elect by his blood, 1 Peter 1. And as in the Old Testament there had to be the proper sprinkling of the blood of the sacrifice, so there must be the proper application of the blood of Christ. Jesus is called the Lamb of God. He's called our Passover, as he shed his blood on the cross, John 19. God has predetermined that those who are washed by his blood will be saved. He has predetermined that those who are not so washed will be lost. And each of us must, and we are permitted to decide for ourselves, which will it be for ourselves? It's not a question whether we're saved by his blood or not. We are. The question is, when are we saved by his blood? Is it before we sin? Is it after we sin? Is it when Jesus died, even before we were born or had sinned? Or when the conditions of reaching his blood are met? This leads us to our third major point. We sing the hymn, "What Can Wash Away My Sins?" The answer comes ringing back, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Our sins are washed away by his blood when the application of his blood is made. And as with any cleansing agent, the agent must be applied. We're washed clean when we obey from the heart that form of doctrine delivered, Romans chapter 6. The doctrine is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15. The form of that doctrine is when we die to sin and are buried in baptism and are raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 3 and 4. This too, friend, is a part of God's plan for saving man. The blood of Christ is in his body. We must enter the body of Christ, which is his church, Colossians 1 and verse 18. His blood is reached by faith in his blood, Romans 3:25. 1 Peter 1 shows the connection between obedience and the blood. It is when we obey that there is the sprinkling or the proper application made of his blood. It is in baptism that we reach his blood because we are baptized into his death, Romans 6, and that's where his blood was shed, John 19. And this is why Ananias told Saul of Tarsus to be baptized and wash away his sins, Acts 22:16. Entrance into the holiest, which is the type of heaven, is by the blood, Hebrews 10. When we're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, we enter that relationship with Christ wherein is salvation, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, where all spiritual blessings are found, Ephesians 1:3, where there is no condemnation, Romans 8:1, but blessedness, Revelation 14:13. It is when we're baptized that we enter the body, the church, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. Friend, there is but one baptism operative now in the Lord's scheme of redeeming man, Ephesians 4 verse 5, and that is baptism in water for the remission of sins into Christ, which is into his body and by his authority. Never are we to think, are we saved by baptism or the blood of Christ? The water itself by itself saves nothing. The power is in the blood. But we are saved by his blood when we are baptized. And we must maintain faithfulness in his body for his cleansing blood to keep on cleansing us from sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Just one or two other points of interest. When the blood of Christ was shed,
The old law of Moses ended, Colossians 2. And the blood of Christ flowed both ways from the cross, Hebrews 9:15, to forgive sins committed under the old law. The blood sacrifices of the Old Testament were types of the sacrifice of Christ. His blood, however, once shed, is sufficient for all. Never again need our Lord die for our sins. We are sanctified, we are set apart by His blood, Hebrews 13:12. And we are set apart from the sinful world and set into a saved relationship with God. Hebrews 13:20 called His blood the blood of the New Covenant or the New Testament, Matthew 26:28. And we, if we be among the saved, have been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6, and that price was His blood, Acts 20:28. Therefore, we're obligated to live for the one who died for us, 2 Corinthians 5. His blood is holy, and there awaits condemnation to those who count it otherwise, Hebrews 10:29. Now, God has provided us a memorial to Christ, and the remembrance of His blood in the Lord's Supper. The blood of Christ, friend, and this is our fourth and final main point, will never save those who reject it. It will save all those who are washed clean by it. And what if His blood was never shed? Where would our hope, our forgiveness, our fellowship with God, our entrance into the heavenly glory, where would all of that be? Will we be saved without the blood? Well, the answer is no. So our last point is simply this. Will you be washed in the blood of Christ? But you see, this is a personal decision that you must make for yourself. The blood is the power to save. All need to be saved, and all can be saved, and all are saved the same way. To reach His blood, we must meet the conditions, which are faith in Christ, repentance of sins, confession of our faith, and baptism into Christ. The question is, will you be saved? The credit, the honor, the glory, the praise for our salvation belongs to the one who devised the plan, who made the sacrifice, who revealed the plan, and who offers the plan. We can benefit from that plan if we will obey. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.